good place to be today, right?
Amen.
Amen. All think about all them times we used to sit on the couch and we wouldn't want to come, or you know, this, that, and the other. We might even been hung over, if the truth be told, right? Years ago, maybe some of us. Yeah, a few people. I see them smiling. But this is the place to be. And Nancy and I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it's an honor and a privilege to. We want to give you something that's going to encourage you and lift you up and edify you. We want to give you the Word of God. So I'll give it. The Lord gave me a message for you, and you need to receive it today, okay? And we just want to say also, we brag on this church all the time. You're a friendly church. You're a good church. You're a well-oiled machine here. I like it. We go to a lot of different churches. In fact, we were laughing just the other day. We went to one church, and I had to ask her. I said, are we in the right place? Because nobody would talk to you. Nobody would smile. They was almost mad at you. And I'm like, check that address, will you? So you guys are nowhere in the ballpark with that, okay? So we want to say thank you. We also wanted to tell you just a little bit before we get into the Word. It's been a while since we've been here. And since then, on a sad note but a good note, my mother died. She was 92. She was in a nursing home for the last 7 years. And, you know, body just deteriorating, bones too thin to operate, heart problems, this, that, and the other, and just kept getting worse and worse. So she went on to be with the Lord. The reason I know that is, you know, I've been privileged to lead a lot of people to the Lord, a lot in my since I've been saved. And that's just a calling and a gifting God's given me. But do you know who the first person was that I led to the Lord? Mama. That's right. Mama. Yep. It was at a kitchen table. I was, you know, on fire for the Lord, and she knew my past, and I was the wayward son like a lot of you. And I came to Mama, and I shared everything, and she knew. She could see the change. She knew it was real. And it was just me and her, you know, me and her, sitting at the coffee table or at the kitchen table. And I said, Mom, I want you to have what I have. And I'm going to ask you if I can just give you the simple Word of God and treat you as if you're not my mom. Just share it with you. She said, that'd be fine, son. So I was able to sit there and just give her the Romans road to salvation and all those good things and treat her just like anybody else and ask her questions. You know, do you feel like you have sin in your life, Mom? Do you think you need to have that taken care of? You think you need to have what I have and others have? And would you like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And she said, I would, son. So we prayed right there. It was wonderful.
Amen.
And I mean, I just, you know, hop, skipping, and jumping. So that was number one, and it was the most meaningful. And then when she went on, you know, all death is you just, the body goes back to the dust, and you're immediately in the presence of the Lord. So she's with them. She has no more problems, you know. You ever hear people say they passed away? No, they didn't pass away. Billy Graham one time, he said, someday I'm going to die and I'm going to, you know, go on to be with the Lord, and you're going to read headlines that Billy Graham is dead. And he said, don't you believe it for a second. He'll be as alive as anybody there ever was. Amen?
Amen?
So really, death isn't anything to fear. I mean, like somebody said earlier, I don't really want to go. I always ask people, how many want to go to heaven? Right? How many want to die and go right now? See, you guys hesitate. I didn't see anybody shoot that hand up. We're not ready quite yet. We got things to do. We got our reasons, right? But we all want to go to heaven. So anyway, we want to just say thank God for the church. We thank God for His ministry. The other thing I wanted to share was the Lord opened a door years ago to preach at a homeless shelter up there. It's actually a 9-month program for drug addicts and homeless people and so forth. They get them off the streets. They clothe them. They get them, you know, get Lord in them and get them educated, as it were, get them their GED if they can, and then help them to get back into society, get back with families. And so since we were here last time, we go and preach there once a month. We've had 65 people give their heart to the Lord just in Nose Farm. And that's wonderful. And in the past, I'd have to beg and plead, as it were, to come to the altar. All you do now, God, there's a mighty move going on. You just say, if that's you, you come. They come. Just like that. You don't have to drag them, plead, and pull. They come. So I'm seeing God work in a mighty way, and I'm so thankful to be a part of that. And so speaking of Mama, I used my mother's testimony a little bit in the message I gave the last time I was there. And I had two people at the end of the service come up and cry, tears just running down their faces. And they said, my mom's lost, you know, and I don't want her to go to that awful place. Would you pray for her? And she won't listen to me because I've messed my life up so bad, you know. But so we prayed that God would send somebody to her, you know, to plant the seed or, you know, to convert and this, that, and the other. So I just was, it was amazing to see people. You know, when you talk about mama, I don't care who you are. Some of these big, tough guys, they melt, right? And really, they'll melt with the Lord, too, if the Word hits them right and the Spirit of God pulls them and leads them. It's beautiful to see all of that. All right, let's get into the Word of God. The way I got this message was Nancy and I are retired now. We're blessed to be able to do a little bit of traveling. We're always trying to do the Lord's work. But when we go on these vacations, we said, you know, we don't want to just go and lay in the sun, as they say, and hang out and do nothing. We do want to be used of God, right? How many of you know there's no retirement in God's service, right? I ain't read that anywhere in the Bible. So when we go on vacation, we want to be used of God. And so that's what we said, you know, wherever we go. So at some point, we understood. If you want to turn to Mark 16 and 15, I'm just going to read you one verse. And you're all familiar with it, but this is what we're supposed to be doing, right? All of us. Mark 16 and 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all right? That's it. I'm not going to read a lot to you here, but it's a very powerful thing. Now, some people look at this as, well, that was a command that was just for the disciples. How many of you know that it is for all of us, and this is what we're supposed to be doing? Wherever we go, we're supposed to be sharing our faith. And it goes along with Acts 1 and 8, right? But you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to, you know, we would be selfish if we got this good thing. We're on the way to heaven, right? We just preach to us and these four walls go home. And, you know, somebody said, us four, me, my wife, and two kids, us four and no more. It's not that. It's the beginning to tell people about the Lord. So we looked at these scriptures and we said, you know what? We got the opportunity. We got people we could go to. And every born-again, Spirit-filled believer must go. So the message today, if you had to put a message on this, is go and tell. Go and tell. A lot of people go, but they don't tell. A lot of people meet people at the family reunions, they meet the neighbors, they meet the co-workers and so forth, and they do a lot of going to them, but they don't always share the gospel. I told you this story before. At my workplace, I had a fella that when I first got saved, man, the Lord really saved me mightily, and I went and I started telling all my co-workers about all this stuff, and this fellow who I've known for 20 years at that time, I knew he was a good guy, he finally says, well, I'm a Christian too. And I mean, this is a man that I was a sinner and he was the Christian. He never once told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. He never told me nothing. He was one of them that was all personal and private and this, that, and the other. And he had a lot of opportunities. And I'm not being critical, but I would say if you've been saved for 20 years, your neighbor ought to know you as a Christian. Can I get an amen on that? It's true. How about some of the co-workers? They should know, right? And yet people will hold it back for all these different reasons. We decided we don't want to do that, okay? We want to go out and, you know, even if it's family and even if it's offensive. How many of you know the gospel, the first two letters is G-O, right? Go. You first got to get out there and go. You got to get off the couch. You got to get out here. You got to put yourself out there. You got to find opportunities. And folks, it's right in your own families. We all know it, right? Now, in our defense, you know, even Jesus, right? He when he in his own hometown, he couldn't do mighty many miracles because they knew that he wasn't that the carpenter down the road that we all knew and grow up, and now he's claiming to be the Messiah. They didn't receive that. And it's same with many of us with our families. A lot of times they'll receive better from non-family members, right? Right? They've been hearing it from you for years and they're tired of hearing it in some cases. But God help us to just have faith, to be led by the Holy Spirit wherever we go in this world, be light and salt, be witnesses and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter where you go, just let it rip, as they say. Now, I will say this. When I first got saved, I did this wrong. I meant well. I just beat everybody over the head with it. I thought everybody's got to get this, and wham, you know, I would come running in like a bull in a china shop giving them the gospel. In other words, I was not led by the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you know you got to be led by the Spirit of God? Otherwise, and that goes for preaching, that goes for any ministry work, you can have all kinds of great ideas and just run
And guess what? If the Holy Spirit's not leading, you're really not in the will of God. You got to be led by the Spirit. So when you're going to go to an outing, to the work, you pray, Lord, lead me. Witness, you know, I want to witness to people, but I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Have you ever been just chit-chatting with somebody and all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, go, you do it. Then other times he says, zip it, let them talk. Don't say nothing because you just blow it, you know, just be you doing it, right? Or they're not ready, they're not primed, okay? And, you know, I guess some of you may say, well, you know, brother, you're a preacher. Brother Dave's a preacher. You guys got some. By the way, one of the reasons I ended up here was Brother Dave and I ordained through the same organization, the AFMC, and they had a conference here one time, and I was blessed to be able to bring the word for the conference, and that's how we met. And I love Brother Dave and Tink, and you know, don't know them as well as I'd like, but maybe that'll change someday. We'll get to. But the little bit I know, you have a wonderful pastors here, and I know you know that. But it's great. It's just all of us need to just keep that in mind, okay? But you might say, I don't have those credentials. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher, okay? I'm just quiet. Well, I'm going to help you. Every one of you are qualified. How do I say that? How many of you are born again? How many of you have the Spirit of God in you? Well, you're qualified. And you know, them old disciples, we all lift them up. The Bible says they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. But they were able to turn the world upside down. Why were they able to do that? Because of God's Spirit. It wasn't them. And when it says ignorant, it doesn't mean they were stupid. It means they didn't have all the sheepskins. They didn't have all the degrees and the pedigree like some of the priests and this, all the holy, righteous people, right? They were just simple people that God saved, that God put His Spirit in, and they were able to go and tell. All right? Now, here's another example. How many of you remember that story where Jesus went across the lake with the disciples and that big old storm kicked up, right? And they got on the other side and there's the demon and Jesus heals the man of the demons and he wants to go with Jesus back to the other side. And listen what Jesus says to him. He says, no, I want you to go home and tell the good things that God hath done for you. Amen. Now, how many of you can do that? You might not have a degree. You might not be able to discern the Word of God like skillfully like some people. That's okay. But has God blessed you? Has God anointed you? Has God done anything good in your life? He said to this man, no, don't come follow me. I want you to go back and tell everybody the good things that God hath done. So you're well qualified, and no one can say, that doesn't apply to me. It does. Every single one of us needs to understand that. So, what are we to proclaim? It's the gospel. It's the good news of salvation. You know, keep it simple. Everybody wants to complicate this stuff. It doesn't have to be. There's lots of ways to share the gospel and keep it simple. Just give them the pure word of God. The lost need to hear this. You know, they're out there floundering. The Bible says they're blinded by the god of this world. They need some good news. And by the way, giving the gospel, it's just as effective if you have a neighbor and you go over and help him cut his grass, you help him by showing love, you bring him things or her, and guess what? You're preaching. You ever hear the saying, I'd rather hear or see a sermon than hear one? That's when you see a sermon, when you show the love of God. By the way, when missionaries go to third world countries, you know what they do when they get there? They don't get off the plane and start preaching. They feed the people. They feed them. Why? They're hungry. You tell me them kids, you know, with them big old bellies and them ribs showing are going to be able to enjoy listening to us preach when they're starving. They give them something to eat, they bless them, and then they share the Word of God. It's the same in our lives. We need to show people love. We need to show them that we love them and we care for them, right? You know, there's a saying that says people don't care how much you know, right, until they know how much you care and love them. That's the truth. So ask ourselves, you know, with your family and with your friends, am I really doing that, you know, or am I just shoving like I did, shoving the gospel down their throat without being led by the Spirit and being self-righteous in some degrees, not being forgiving when our loved ones sin and mess up and we want to just throw them under the bus and we want to condemn them, right? We all know what we're talking about. It's this spirit of Christianity is to love them. It's to just forgive them. And by the way, how many times are we supposed to forgive? We know that story, right? It's unlimited. And all the spouses said amen. Amen to that, right? We all know that. So it was brought up in Sunday school. My question to you is, all right, are you pure from the blood of all men? And you go, what are you talking about? Well, it's in. You don't have to turn there. I've got it here. It's in Ezekiel 3:18, one verse. It says, this is God. He says, when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you fail to warn them of their wicked ways that they may live, and then they die in their sin or their iniquity, their blood will I require at thy hand. Now, we could have a theological debate over what exactly that means, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want no part of it. I don't want no part of that, of anybody's blood on my hands. And that's why the Apostle Paul could say he was pure from the blood of all men. In other words, he did not fail to declare the whole gospel of God wherever he went. He never backed down. He told people the truth in love wherever he went. He was a full gospel preacher. He told them all about their sins. He told them the truth in love. So when he died, he could say, you know, I have fought a good fight. I have done it to the end. I've done what I was to do, and nobody's blood will be upon my hands. So again, if there's people that we have the opportunity to witness to, we need to be doing that. We really do, okay? And, you know, he was a good man of God. He loved God, and that's what we need to do. In Acts 1:8, it says, I quoted it earlier, but you shall be, underline and bold and highlight the word be. You shall be witnesses unto me. Now, I used to think that verse meant I got to go out and witness to people. I got to tell them about Jesus. That's part of it. But being a witness is different than witnessing. Being a witness is being Christ-like. It is showing the love of God to everybody. It is behaving as if you actually have the Spirit of God within you. It's showing love. How many of you remember the Christians, the Bible says, were first called Christians in the city of Antioch? You remember that? Now think about it. They didn't walk into town with a big trumpet saying, da-da-da, da-da-da, we're Christians, we're coming to your town. Everybody listen up. No, they came in and showed the love of God, and people said they're Christ-like, and that became Christian. That's what a Christian is, Christ-like. But it says be witnesses. Folks, we need to be salt and light in this world. People need to see us as who the real deal, okay? Now, we all know, you ever hear people say there's too many, one of the reasons they don't come to church is there's too many hypocrites in the church, right? We all know that. Are there hypocrites sitting here today? I won't say. I don't know you all enough. God does, though. And maybe there are some here. But you know what? Every job you have, there's a hypocrite. There's hypocrites in the White House. There's even hypocrites in churches, yes. There's hypocrites at Kroger, at the library. Every occupation has hypocrites. So that's not really an excuse if there's some hypocrites sitting in the church, right? That's what they say because they don't want to be here. But don't be a hypocrite. Way I see you today, if I follow you for 6 days, I should see the same person. Not this spiritual one on Sunday, right? And then this loosey-goosey, you know, whatever goes over here Monday through Saturday, right? And, you know, I've had people early on when I was trying to do some of that, they said, I thought you was a Christian. See, they were watching. They nailed me, too, because what I was doing was I was trying to have fun with them and do my church thing over here, right? I want everybody to like me. And they said, I thought you was a Christian. And boy, that cut me to the heart, okay? It really did. So, are you pure from the blood of all men? And the last question for you is, if you were arrested for being a Christian witness, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough? That's a good question. Because sometimes we think we're better than we really are. So a little soul searching goes a long way in this kind of stuff. It really does. So here's how it gets practical. We were going to visit Nancy's brother. He lives in Colorado, and she hadn't seen him in many years. Loves her brother, but they just lost contact. We knew he wasn't a Christian, so we're going to get on the big bird and fly to Colorado, and so we both prayed. Lord, help us to lead, you know, just get the word to Al. His name is Al. Lord, help us. So that was our prayer. We got on the plane. We got there. Real friendly, wonderful reunion. And they live in beautiful country, and they took us out for a ride to look at the country. And I'm thinking, how am I going to start the conversation? How's this going to go, you know? Amazingly, they brought it up. They actually brought up religion a little bit. But, you know, when you're in a car and you're seeing all the sights and all the activities, you know you can't really get into it.
we're trying to talk a little bit about it. Then they'd say, now this mountain over here and this activity here and this pond, you know, it just isn't going to work. So I finally just said, look, if it's okay with you all, you know, we got 2 weeks here. At some point on our vacation, would it be okay if I just showed you 8 verses from the Bible? And I held my breath because there was silence. And he goes, yeah, that'd be fine. So I'm like, well, okay, let's plan on doing that. We're going to look at 8 verses. You know, that sounds pretty easy, right? Sounds like I'm not going to be too hard on him. I'm just going to look at 8 verses. That's all we're going to do. And so he said that'd be fine. So we kind of never really talked about it much, and we enjoyed our vacation. I think it was 5 or 6 days later, an opportunity rose where he was watching his grandson. The wife was working. She had to work. Nancy, unfortunately, that day was not feeling good, and she was in the bed. So here's me and Al and the grandkid. Nice little kid just playing there and everything. And I said, Al, remember those 8 verses? You think we could look at those now? And he said, yeah, we could do that. So I'm going, Lord, help me. You know, give me wisdom. Help me, Lord, to do this right, you know. So amazingly, this wonderful little kid that I had thought was just an angel became a little demon child. What a coincidence. I opened the book, and suddenly, nice child's demon child. And I mean, he's just totally like a different kid now. He's not listening. He's throwing stuff. He's arguing with his dad. Then he just gets up, goes out the door, and runs down the street. He's like, I got to go get my grandkid. And he takes off running, and I'm sitting in there with my Bible in the living room, nobody to talk to. So I go back to Nancy, said, honey, I know you're not feeling good, but let's pray. Let's pray, because Al's wanting to hear this stuff. So, you know, she starts praying, and I can get back out there, and he comes back, and he apologizes and everything. God bless my wife. She wasn't feeling good. She got up so she could watch the kid, right? She's going to watch the demon child. And she laid hands on him, right, and anointed him. I don't know what you did, but it probably worked. It was amazing. What, you know, the enemy doesn't want nobody to get saved, and he's going to, you believe he can do stuff like that, church? Is it in his realm to do stuff like that? I believe it is, and many other things, right? Many other things. Many, we won't even get into that. That's a whole nother message. So finally, I says, Al, can we go like in the back bedroom and talk about this? You know, Nancy said she'd want, he goes, yeah, that'd be fine. So we get back there, open the book, and I don't know what happened, but just before I'm getting in, all of a sudden that door starts buckling, and I walk up to the door. I say, excuse me, and he's trying to bust in, and I'm pushing against it, and he's busting, and we're having a fight here. But anyway, that was the last of it. For whatever reason, he went back, and I don't know what you did, but it worked because I never had to deal with him anymore. So I said, Al, would you turn with me? And you can turn here too. It's John, the 3rd chapter, John 3:1, very familiar section. Now remember, he doesn't know nothing about nothing. And this is my chance to give him the word, and I said I was only going to use 8 verses. And I thought, this is a good 8 verses right here. John 3:1 says, I said, Al, let's read this together. I'm sitting shoulder to shoulder with him, and this Bible, one leaf is on my lap and one's on his. And I said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I said, Al, this is a very religious man. And it's what they're talking about here. He's a good man. He's a religious man. He's a leader. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So I said, Al, this is why he came to him at night, because he feared the Jews. A lot of the Jews didn't like Jesus because he was upsetting the apple cart, as they say, and he was different and, you know, then taking a lot of their spotlight. But I said, notice when he started to give Jesus praise, Jesus didn't say, well, of course, you know, I can do miracles. I'm the Son of God, you know. He didn't do none of that. What did he do, Al? I said, verse 3. He went right to the heart of this man's problem. And I said, and Al, listen to this. This applies to you as well. Verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I said, Al, this man needed something called being born again. And that just means that he was going to become a new creation in Christ. And it was going to be an experience that is not just being religious, but he needed to be totally transformed into a new creation. And boy, Al's just listening.
and taking it in like a sponge. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Verse 4, I says, Al, it's but Nick, this is kind of funny. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, this is a very religious man. Yeah, he may not have understood the full new covenant, but there was plenty of scriptures in the old for a man as learned as Nicodemus to understand the spiritual matters. So Jesus answers in verse 5 and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And verse 6 explains verse 5. It's the best, the Bible's the best explainer. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So notice, Nicodemus brought up about being born. So Jesus is basically saying, yeah, Nicodemus, you got to be born, but you also have to be born spiritually. There is a physical birth and a spiritual birth. And Al's just looking at me, and he's taking it in. And I said, do you understand that? And he goes, yeah, that guy didn't get it. So he was on board to understand. Even Nicodemus wasn't understanding. But Al was getting it. And I said, yeah, that's exactly right. Jesus was simply saying you got to have a spiritual birth. And so then I had a chance to tell Al, you know, it's not about going to church. It's not about how many times you read the Bible, how many good works you do. I said, you could be the best at good works in your community. You could be the most faithful and sit on the pew. But if you never get born again and accept Christ as your Savior, Al, you ain't going. Jesus said that. He said, nobody will see the kingdom of heaven unless they're born again. So then I says, let's look at the next verse, verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So I says, Al, it says right here in red letters, and that means Jesus said it, you have to be born again. You have to. And he's just like, this is like hitting him because it's just us in a bedroom. And I don't think anybody ever told him this way. I'm just going to surmise. No one's ever just pointedly brought the scriptures and had the opportunity. And of course, the Holy Spirit's dealing with him, you know, and he's taking it all in. And then the last verse, here's my last verse, verse 8. The wind blows where it will, and you can hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit, I said, Al, it's like the wind. You can see, you can feel the wind, and you can see the effects of the wind. You can see leaves moving and sometimes damage and different things, but it's like, where's it going to go next? And, you know, it's a mysterious thing in many ways. And it's the same in the Spirit of God. You know, we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit with your eyes. But I said, to this day, I don't understand how I can get up in front of a group of people, like at that mission or at churches, give the pure Word of God, and this fella here is sitting there with his arms folded and his feet dug in, his heels dug in, and he's about scowl on his face. He don't want nothing to do with it. This guy here is in the middle. He's listening, but he's not ready to jump. And this guy over here can't wait to get to the altar. You see, it's different effects on different people. You kind of brought that out in Sunday school with your faith. You know, everybody's got different levels. And so we need to understand our job is to deliver the Word of God and be faithful and follow the leading and let the results be up to God. And when they're ready, they will come. We can't be forced. You know, in my early days, I was able to get people to say the sinner's prayer. I just could. I could get just about anybody to say it. It's just a way. That was me pushing them. And, you know, it's like Billy Graham crusades. Remember all those thousands of people that would come from the way up there and come down? A lot of them people came because somebody elbowed them in the ribs and said, come on, let's go. Right? And they got down there and they said the sinner's prayer, but nothing happened. Nothing happened whatsoever. So anyway, I'm telling Al all of this, and he's just listening. And I said, Al, so Jesus said you got to be born again. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And he's listening. And I said, would you agree then, Al, that you got to be born again before you can get to heaven? He said, yeah, it's written in the book. And I said, okay, are you born again? He goes, I don't think so. I never did anything like that in my life, you know. And I said, okay, I appreciate your honesty. And then I said, I got bold. Here's what I said. Do you think it'd be okay to look at a couple of more verses? And I'm holding, he goes, yeah, yeah. I'm like, cool, you know, let's look at a few more. I said, so let's see why we have to be born again.
and you don't have to turn here, you know these. This is the Romans Road type stuff. Romans 3:10, I said, right? And as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, Al, do you have sin in your life? Yeah, plenty of it, that's for sure, okay? And, you know, he was being very honest about it. So then I said, Al, the problem is that sin, according to God's word, has to be punished, okay? Sin has to be punished. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, Al, is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. Then I said, Al, if you ever do give your heart to the Lord and get born again, every person that does, their name gets recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then I said, let's look at the consequences for those that don't. And he's just like hanging on every word. And we turn to Revelation 20:15, which says, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So I had an opportunity to explain there is a lake of fire. You know, it's heaven or lake of fire, and it's all in what you decide here on earth, Al. This is what it's all about. It's not about religion. It's not about the church stuff. This is the real thing, Al. And I mean, he, as they say, he was hanging on every word, had him hook, line, and sinker, just listening to everything. And I was just thanking the Lord so much for this opportunity. Then I said, Jesus said, Al, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where I go. That's what Jesus said. You can't do it. So you got to get rid of the sin, you know, and he's just listening. So I said, the good news is that God has a plan, and that plan is this, John 3:16. All right, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing because God offered himself, I said, Al, in our place, okay? The gift of God is eternal life, all right? All the Bible tells us how to be born again. It tells us how to be saved. And then I said, Al, would you like to hear how to be saved? Yeah, I've been waiting for that part, he said. I said, well, here's what the Bible says. And I said, now, you got to mean this with all your heart. You can't just say this to appease me or just say it like a chant or like a magic formula. But here's what the Bible says. It's found in Romans 10:9-10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I said, that's it. It sounds simple, Al, but the key is God's after your heart. He wants you to say this and mean this and come to him in the most meaningful way that you could ever possibly do. And if you're willing to do that, there will be a miracle that happens in your life. So here's what I did. I said, and by the way, this is something that I have just learned in life about a lot of people. I don't know why they don't, but a lot of people share these kind of scriptures. Then they say something like this, well, I'm going to be praying for you, that God will get a hold of you or that you'll get this message, and they kind of leave. I differ that way. Here's what I do, and you know, unless the Spirit's not leading this way, but I say, Al, right now, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior right now? Amen. That's what I do, and I've been doing it for many years, church, and I could tell you a lot of people that, again, you have to be led, because I could see he was hanging on every word. He was serious. He didn't want to go to hell. He knew he needed to be born again. So I asked him, you want to do that right now? And here's his answer. Yes. But. Yeah, there was that but word. He said yes. I was just about ready to, oh, man. But. I go, well, what do you mean, but? And he goes, well, I still drink. I smoke marijuana. You know, and he goes, I don't think I'll ever be like you. I said, man, you're getting the cart before the horse, you know. Man, don't be worried about all that stuff. We're just asking right now, do you want to come to step one, which is give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again? And he said, oh, okay. And I said, don't worry about all that stuff. You don't compare yourself to nobody. I said, right now, don't you feel like you want to get close to God? And he said, I do. And so that was it. I said, all right, I'm going to lead you in what's called a sinner's prayer, and I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart to God. Don't do it because I tell you. Don't just repeat it. Don't make it like a chant. And so we sat there, and I led him in the simple sinner's prayer. And if you've ever heard sinner's prayer, there's no two alike.
If Dave leads somebody, if I lead, it's just a little bit different, but generally it's the same. It's covering the same ground. And by the way, how many of you know that thief over here, he said he made the most simple prayer. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It wasn't, dear Lord Jesus, I come, it was, would you just remember me when you come into your kingdom? But think about it. He admitted there was a kingdom. He admitted he was a king and that he had the power to get him there. So that was a pretty good sinner's prayer. But anyway, we prayed that prayer, and when it was done, he was visibly shaken. And I hugged him and I said, welcome to the family of God. And we just hugged and cried. It was wonderful. It really was. And for the next half hour, he asked me questions. I said, what, do you have any questions? And he just asked, and we talked and discussed. And this is kind of funny, too. I said, hey, by the way, do you have a Bible? He goes, yeah, somewhere. He goes, let me go find that thing. And just to watch a man who has a Bible but hasn't touched it in 20 years probably, it was funny. He's pulling the drawers, looking everywhere. He looked under the bed. He went over here, and he, it's here somewhere. Finally, he got a stool, got up on a closet, that top shelf. He's pulling boxes out and stuff. There's dust flying, and I see him reach way back there. I got it. Full of dust. He hands it to me, and he says, will this work? And I looked, and it said, King James Version, Red Letter Edition. I said, that'll work. That'll work, Al. We got it. So we opened the book, and he doesn't know nothing about it. And I said, Al, I'm going to give you a brief overview of the Bible. So I told him, like, the Old Testament, what that's all about. And now that Jesus came, we got this New Testament. And, it was hard to really break. Think about trying to tell somebody the entire Bible in a few minutes. You can't do it. But it was enough for him to understand the basics of it. Because a lot of people, when they get the Bible, they say, well, I'll start at page one and start reading. And by the time they get into Leviticus, they're all confused. And Dave, you got your hands full when they're coming to you with a 10-page binder of questions, right? And a lot of that doesn't even apply anymore. So I got him pointed into the Gospels. And actually, a lot of people like to say, start in the book of John. I just said, the Gospels are the same. They're just all telling the story a little bit differently from their perspective. But right after those four Gospels, you want to read the book of Acts. So I left it up to him. And his wife was working, so he had to go up there and pick her up. And we went up there, and we talked on the way. And he says, Dan, I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to let you down. And he meant it. So we get in there, and he goes up to his wife, and I gave him some space. They were talking. They were smiling a lot. Then he left, and as I was leaving with Al, or he was already out, his wife says, I want to thank you for what you did. And I said, hey, it wasn't me. It was God. She goes, what? Something happened. I go, God touched him. And she goes, I know, because he came to me, and he told me how much God touched him. And he goes, he would never do that. God touched his life. And I just said, it's beautiful. So get out in the car, and he says, I'm not going to let you down, Dan. We get back, and I was rejoicing. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And there was joy that night. Next day, I had a fishing trip lined up with some of his buddies, which was kind of cool, and I had to get up pretty early, and I'm up there getting a bowl of cereal, and next thing, Al comes up, and he goes, Daggone, I wanted to make you breakfast today. So you know something happened? And he says, by the way, last night, I read 8 chapters from the book of Matthew. And I said, praise God. And he goes, my wife was reading some too. So we talked, and and he said, I got a friend that he goes to this church, and I think I can go there. And I said, yes, you need to get into a good Bible-believing church. And so this is how it went until we left. And again, he told me one last time, I will not let you down. So what we did is we parted ways, we prayed, and like a couple weeks, we checked in with them. And, to be honest with you, it was a little shaky. They weren't like totally on fire for God and moving. And, you kind of pray, oh, Lord, don't let them go back, And what we did find out, though, over a little bit of time, they got plugged into this church. And they are growing, and they're regularly attending today. And I want to give God all the glory for that. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Can we do that? It's the Lord. It's wonderful. And so I got to see the power of God
And not just that time, I've been seeing it over, and every time I go to that mission, every time I go to somewhere and lead somebody to the Lord, I see the power of God. At these missions I go to, there's these great big biker types. I mean, big burly guys, tough as nails, tattoos all over. You know, there ain't no way in the natural any one of us could get them to fall on their knees and cry. Ain't gonna happen. But I have seen it. You give them the pure word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit of God, and God will take them to their knees and they'll weep like babies. I've seen it over and over and over. It's not us. It's the word of God. It's the Spirit of God. No man can come unless the Spirit draws them. Remember that, church. So all I would say to you is, you know, for your life, ask yourself, am I pure from the blood of all men? Have I told everybody in my immediate world about the Lord under the leading of the Holy Spirit? And if there's somebody you kind of been holding off on, my advice to you is to go ahead and do that. And if there's anybody here that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do that. In fact, I'm going to ask that question right now. Could we all stand to our feet and just bow our heads? And I'm going to ask a simple question. If that story resonated with anybody in the sound of my voice, I don't care how old you are, and you say the same thing. You say, well, I need to do what Al did. I want you to just raise your hand and say, yeah, this message applies to me. This message applies to me. Or maybe you say something like this: I need to be back with the Lord. I'm no longer where I should be with the Lord. So I'm just going to ask right now, if there's anybody that raised your hand, you come tonight, and I want to pray with you up at this altar, because that's what we did with Al, and we have to do it publicly here. But I've always asked it this way: if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? And if the answer is, I hope so, or maybe, you need to come. You need to come up here. So I'm going to ask, if there's anybody here in the sound of my voice that needs to come to this altar today, and it might just be a backslidden situation where you've strayed from the Lord and you need to recommit to Him, I want you to come. I want to pray with you. You know, you won't see me again for a long time probably, so it doesn't matter. It's just that you need this, you come. You come today and I'll pray with you. And God will bless you. He will. He will. Anybody at all? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Okay, you can be seated. You can be seated. So, you know, I've said this for years too. When it comes to healing, you know, if you ask somebody, hey, you need a healing? So, you know, nobody comes. But that's good. That means everybody's been hearing the word of God and they're blessed and they're healed. So everybody is good salvation-wise. But I want to end with this, okay? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Be a witness. Don't just talk about it. Don't talk about it. Walk the talk. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you.